The government released new statistics about suicide in the U.S., and the results were sobering and stunning. The nation's suicide rate is at its highest point since 1986. Nearly 43,000 people ended their own lives in 2014, which is the most recent year with full data. Hari Srinivasan has more on the story from our New York studios.
The rise in rates were particularly alarming among some age groups. While the numbers are still smaller among children, the suicide rate was up sharply among 10 to 14-year-old girls, tripling in the past 15 years. It also rose steeply among middle-aged Americans, 63% higher for middle-aged women, 43% higher for middle-aged men. For some perspective on these trends and some of the potential reasons behind it, I'm joined by Catherine Hempstead, who studies this for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. For the record, the foundation is a funder of the NewsHour. So which of these sets of numbers, I mean, we just went over a couple of them, but stood out to you when you saw this?
Well, I think there has been concern about the middle-aged group for a while now, and people have been noticing increased rates for both males and females. And with these latest results, we see really, really large increases for women in particular, and a closing of that gender gap as the female rate starts to be, you know, closer to the male rate.
That women try more, but men succeed more? Is that one of the...
Well, I mean, I think that is something that's true. There's much more of a non-fatal to fatal ratio for females. There are many more attempted self-harms that don't result in fatal incidents. But now we see with this new trend, we see the rates getting closer. And we also see a change in the method so that we see this increasing adoption of suffocation or hanging as a suicide method by both males and females. And that is a highly lethal method.
And that compared that to guns, which is probably still the number one
guns
weapon.
Is the most lethal means of suicide. And, you know, guns is the most important method for males. But we saw for both males and females an increase in suffocation as a share of suicides.
One of the things to keep in mind is that are suicides underreported? Because it looks like these CDC numbers would have to come with the coroner's office said suicide on the death certificate.
There is probably some underreporting of suicide, but I think that over this time period, I don't believe this is any kind of a data artifact. I don't think that underreporting has been a huge part of the problem or that's changed a lot over the last 15 years. So I think this is a real trend in suicide.
And is there any way to capture, well, unsuccessful suicide attempts or hospitalizations?
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, when people attempt suicide, many times it results in an emergency room admission. So we do have a lot of data on non-fatal attempts. A lot of those attempts are done with poisoning. That's probably the most common method for non-fatal attempts. And we do find that females versus males, as we already mentioned, have a higher ratio of non-fatal to fatal attempts because they tend to use less lethal methods. And we also see for certain age groups, like younger groups in particular, there's more non-fatal attempts.
Is that because younger people are doing this more impulsively than older people?
Well, there is, yes, there is a lot of evidence that among younger people, suicidal behavior, whether it's fatal or non-fatal, has a more impulsive origination, so it could be a response. You know, and this is, I think, something that's true, especially for young males, response to some kind of adverse event, maybe a relationship problem, a fight with an authority figure, problem with parents, maybe a, you know, a minor legal infraction. So we see a lot of suicides, suicide attempts and completed suicides for younger people, that especially males, that are the result of sort of recent crises that sort of precipitate impulsive self-injury.
Are there large-scale patterns that you can say are maybe attributed to the economy or the Great Recession that we just went through? Or, you know, when people are down in the dumps, they've lost their fortunes, they've lost everything. Are these the times where we see suicides pick up?
Well, that's really the thing that we focused on when we looked at the middle-aged, and we did look to see could we associate any particular kinds of circumstances to this rising rate of suicide among the middle-aged. And sure enough, we did see, you know, an increasing reference to things like job problems, personal finance issues, foreclosures, bankruptcies, you know, things that really accelerated during the time of the recession. But we see that those trends are kind of persisting even when a lot of people feel like the economy's recovered quite a bit, but maybe those, you know, those improvements aren't being felt by everybody. And the middle-aged, I think, are particularly vulnerable to those kinds of pressures because they're breadwinners, they have dependents, their own retirement might not be secure, they might have children to put through college. So I think they can be, you know, particularly affected by those kinds of economic problems.
Are there reasons that explain what's happening with younger people, teenagers? I mean, I know there's small cohorts from 13 to 18 and so forth, but the way that the CDC breaks out the numbers, but when you look at the overall number, it's increasing.
Well, I mean, that is particularly troubling because it's a little bit harder to pin those kinds of increases to the, you know, the broader kinds of economic, you know, pocketbook issues that are more, you know, you would think have more of an impact on older people that had those kinds of responsibilities. So I think that's something that, you know, people are very concerned about and want to understand better what, you know, what are those motivations.
And is there a contagion effect?
You know, some people have talked about that. You know, I think that it's extremely difficult to have really rigorous evidence to either support or refute the idea of, you know, of some kind of contagion, particularly to say that that would account for a large share of suicide. But I do think that there are, you know, sort of waxes and wanes in times in which suicide may come to seem more sort of culturally acceptable or more a more popular way to talk about a response to problems. And this can sort of, you know, kind of rise and fall over time and go in and out of, you know, favor with certain groups. And I think adolescents can be susceptible to that kind of, you know, language and imagery.
All right. Catherine Hempstead from Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Thanks so much.
Sure. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.